You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Rob in Arizona. Rob, I am so excited to hear from a male play therapist. I say this all the time when one joins my coaching or my collective, and I'm sure there's male podcast listeners as well, but sometimes I don't have interactions with those. So thank you so much for representing males in this field. And there are so many kids that really need to bond with a male in their therapeutic work. So I'm so happy that there are more men in the field, and I'm really excited to hear from you, Rob. So, and as a related note about Arizona, I was in Arizona last year for a synchronized swimming nationals, and it was the first time we had been there. We were in the Del Oro area, and it was absolutely amazing. It was just, it's a very unique state, and it was so pretty, and we were so glad that we had a chance to go. So was recently in Arizona and lovely. So thanks for reaching out, Rob. So I'm going to read parts of his question and then we'll talk through it together. I appreciate this podcast so much, and I'm thankful for you in my journey to continue to develop into a focused and attuned therapist capable of making changes. I love the Landreth book. Me too. That said, I have an 8-year-old child. He likes to hide the toys he plays with the most, and has asked me if the toys will be safe while he's gone. I've used the reflective responses and tracked the investment he has in the toys and his efforts to ensure safety due to his connection. He still hides them and looks to me to protect them. Obviously, there's a theme here, and I'm seeing how much our relationship means to him. I'm curious how to continue to go about this, as I've noticed that he has added a toy here and there to hide and keep safe. Thank you for the work that you do, and I'm proud to call myself a play therapist. I think we all should be proud to call ourselves play therapists. So that's exciting. Okay. Thanks, Rob, for the question. I think let's start with what I consider to be thematically what's going on here, which is permanence. And anytime we have a child that buries things, hides things, anytime there's hide and seek, anytime the child will want something to remain, there's a sense of permanence play. And why that's significant is permanence is something that a child basically has to test and wrestle with. In other words, conflicting truths. So we will see this in kids that have recently gone through a divorce, for example, because what they're trying to sort out, let's go back. Kids have a very concrete black and white way of viewing the world. So you're either all good or you're all bad. Or mom and dad either love each other or they hate each other. Or when I'm at mom's house, I can only love mom. And when I'm at dad's house, I can only love dad. So they have these very defined ways of thinking through the world. But the world has a lot of gray. And so in a scenario where a child is working through permanence, they're essentially saying, how do I resolve what I perceive to be conflicting truths? In other words, if I am at dad's, can I still love mom anyway? If I do something that gets me in trouble, can I be good even though I did something that was, quote, bad? And I don't like value-laden words, but kids do good versus bad play. That's why I'm using that scenario. You know, if I do something, quote, bad, am I still, quote, good? You can see how a kid is going to have to make sense of that. So in this scenario, I think absolutely you've identified what's going on. So there's the relationship component of this. And there's also the possessiveness. So these are things that really matter to me. These are the toys that I play with the most. They're my favorites. So if I leave them here, are they going to be here when I come back? If I leave them here, is someone else going to play with them and somehow mess them up or ruin them or impact my need for them in some way? Does our relationship persist even when I'm not with you? You know, kids only come and play with us an hour each week. And they have dozens of hours the rest of the week without us. So am I still important to you? Do I still matter to you? Does the relationship persevere even in the midst of me not seeing you for the rest of the hours in the week? There's all of these things that he's wrestling with. And when he says to you, you need to keep them safe, you need to protect them, that's a call to you that this needs to be important to you as well. You know, our time together, the toys that I play with, our connection, our relationship, you need to guard this too. So he's kind of giving you a task in this scenario where you have to safeguard this as well, because he's wanting to safeguard it, but then has to leave. So he's giving you the torch essentially and saying, okay, you keep these safe when I'm not here. So I'm going to hide them, but then I have to rely on you to do the rest of it. So you said, I'm curious how to continue to go about this, as I've noticed that he has added a toy here and there to hide and keep safe. You, first of all, you would just want to acknowledge that. So, oh, you've chosen to put something else in there this week. Or you added another toy to the things that you're hiding this week. That one's really important to you as well. So you just want to acknowledge that, because that is a change. So not only do we want to acknowledge repetitive and consistent patterns of behavior with children, but we also want to acknowledge when things change. They need to hear the verbalization of those observations. But Rob, I think the biggest piece of what needs to be done here is, you didn't mention how many sessions in you are. So if you're really early in, I don't know that this is going to have the impact that it could. If you're later in the process, I would start enlarging what the deeper meaning is to some of this. So it's important to you that you can count on things being where you wanted them to be. Or it means a lot to know that I'm going to keep this safe because you can't be here to keep them safe. You want to actually start enlarging some of the deeper reasonings behind what he's doing, because we know thematically what's going on. But remember, kids are emotional. Kids are driven by their feelings. They often do not have the cognitive connection to what's happening. So when we enlarge, that bridges the gap for them. And I think that would be powerful for him, assuming that you're a little bit further into the process, because this is something that he is really consistent about. And you already acknowledged the extent of the relationship. You acknowledge the extent of the connection, and you acknowledge that these are the toys that he uses the most. So there's meaning there. Often when kids want things to be hidden and or there's a possessive nature to it, there's a need for control as well. So my gut tells me he's probably anxious. I don't know that for sure, and I don't know that I'll have any confirmation either way, but my gut tells me he's anxious. And so keep in mind that when kids try to control things, that's usually the antidote to anxiety. So if I can make sure that this stays right here and no one touches it and Rob's going to keep it safe, it'll be exactly there when I come back. That's a control grab. But not for power and control, it's to reduce the anxiety of, oh no, what happens if I come back and it's not here? What happens if another kid played with it? What happens if it gets broken because someone doesn't treat it carefully? What happens if I can't find it when I come into the room next time? What if, what if, what if? All anxious thoughts. So control is, I'm going to make sure it stays right here and no one touches it. So I'm not sure if that's a factor as well, but if there's anxiety, I think that's also what's going on. So you could also enlarge that. You might be able to say something like, it feels good when you can do everything you can to make sure that things are how you need them to be. Something like that. So anyway, we always look at the why, and then we try to, aside from the reflective responses, which it sounds like you're doing, Rob, you want to at some point move into enlargements, because that helps a child understand at a more cognitive level why they feel compelled to do these things in the playroom. So I hope that that's helpful to you, Rob. Thank you so much for the email. And I'm really excited to know that there are people all over this world that are working with kids doing CCPT, and we just get to see the changes that take place in the playrooms. It's so exciting, so worthwhile. And I think it just makes us, you know, we get to the end of our day and there has to be a moment where you just say, wow, I got to do that today. I feel that all the time. I catch myself saying, I get to do this for a job. This is what I do for my job. This is the most amazing thing. And I think I might have shared the story a long, long time ago, but if you're new to the podcast, who knows if you heard it. I had a kid one time say in a play session, "So this is like your job?" And I'm like, "Oh, you're wondering if this is my job?" And they were like, "Yeah, so like you just like play with kids." And I'm like, "Huh, you're a little confused if all I do is play with kids all day, how that's a job." And she goes, "I feel really bad for you." Like truly with this like look on her face and this tone in her voice, like she truly felt sad. And I'm like, "Oh, you feel really sad for me, but I'm not really sure why." And she goes, "Because you have to sit and watch kids play all day." Like that was just the worst thing that she could ever conceive of. And I, you know, it's one of those moments where you're like, do you tell the truth, which is I love getting to play with kids every day, or do I just reflect and not interject my own opinion? So I was kind of wrestling with that in that moment. But I think it is a true gift. And I think we all feel that way, which is why it's such an honor to get to walk these journeys with our clients. And it's so special. All right. Love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.